Well, today we have another one of our younger people going to share with us. And I want to set the stage for what is going to happen by reminding you what the Apostle Luke told us in his letter or his account of the early church in Acts chapter 2. He records how on the day of Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit was poured down upon people and began this ministry of empowering the church to do the work of Jesus, people were wondering what was going on, and Peter stood up to address the crowd. And Peter then quoted from the Old Testament prophet Joel, and he recorded this section, or repeated this section from Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Prophecy is one of those gifts listed in those texts we've been looking at this month. We saw prophecy listed in Romans chapter 12. We saw it listed again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we saw it again listed in Ephesians chapter 4. And one of the things that's been fun for me is to see some of the results of some of the spiritual gift assessments that some of you have taken. And I encourage the rest of you, if you haven't taken those yet, to make sure you have taken those. There's some information on the back table about them. And if you do it on the online version, which I recommend, your results get sent to a central list that I get to see. I can pull it up and look at it. And I can see which gifts you think God might be bringing into you in your life and your ministry. And we can talk about that as we get together over time. But it was fun to look at or to talk with Luke about his gifts. Because Luke has gifts that God has given him to be a blessing to the greater church. Now, there's a danger sometimes when a person might be younger, you think, oh, what's he got to share? But the reality is, if a person is empowered by the Spirit and is submission to the Spirit, when he or she attempts to minister in that anointing, then it's God working through that person. It's not the person working, it's God working through the person. And so I must tell you, I'm excited to hear how God wants to minister to me through Luke this morning. And Luke and I talked this week. We prayed together. I prayed for him numerous times. And I believe that God wants to minister to me through Luke. And I think God wants to minister to you through Luke. Now, when a person ministers under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the person doesn't completely disappear. That person's experience and personality are still there. Just like the authors of Scripture were still there. But the Spirit worked through them to craft God's message, to communicate God's message. And I believe that that's going to happen this morning. So will you pray with me for Luke as he comes up now to open God's word and speak over us? Luke, come on up. Let me lead us as we pray for you. Join me in prayer, please. Almighty God, we thank you that you are the Lord of the church, a Lord of each and every saved individual. And we thank you that you minister to us by your Spirit through other people. You've given gifts to every person who belongs to you so that the body of Christ might be built up and edified and comforted. So we pray your blessing over Luke now. May he be a channel through which you flow. As he reads your word and expounds upon your word, may we hear you, Jesus, through his mouth. And may this experience of letting you work through him be a blessing to him as well. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right.
Good morning. I'd just like to start off, first of all, just by saying thank you to everyone here. This has been my home church for my entire life, as long as that's been. You guys have always been so encouraging and so, just really always been there for me in every aspect of my life, really. And just, growing up, going to Amiot's Bible study and hanging out with the rest of the kids there and, going through confirmation with Pastor Dale and I'm having music opportunities with Steph and Jane's group there, and just always having opportunities around here to help me grow and help me really just find who I am in my faith and find, you know, God in every one of you. And you know, some examples of that were the opportunity of Bible camp. That's really, Bible camp's been a huge part of my life. It's pointing me in directions of where I want to go in my life. And, you know, it's because of this church, because of the people here, that I started going to Bible camp and youth group with Jane and Stacy and my dad when he used to do youth group here. Just changed my life and really pointed me to where I'm going. And where that is youth ministry. And I don't know if many of you knew that or not, but I'm going to Crown College. I'll be going in my second year. I'm majoring in youth and social ministry and minoring in digital arts, but that's kind of just for fun. Hopefully God can use that in my ministry to youth, but the idea is to one day be a youth pastor, but I'm really just leaving it open for God to lead me wherever he needs me to go. So I'd just like to thank you so much for all of your prayers and your support as I'm going through this journey. And I pray that, or I ask that you'd continue them, because, you know, I got 3 years left of college and it's not cheap and it's, you know, it's just really stressful. And I just thank you so much for everything you guys do for me. And this is always going to be my home church. And I love that. And, you know, every time I'm home for breaks and for summer, I always come back here and feel like I never left. And like, you guys always just welcome me back. And I love that about this church. I put these pants on this morning and there's already stain here. And I gotta tell you that little incident I had over at Bethany Bible Camp. They had some trees down. So, the Neufelds and I went out to, help them cut up their trees and move them around so they're not in the way. And, so I was using the chainsaw. And boy, Randy's got a nice chainsaw. It's got a real long blade, real brand new, chain on it. And it was real sharp. And I was cutting up and, I let go of the trigger and it's still moving. And I didn't realize. And I put it down to my side, just clipped my pants and it caught some of my skin too. So I got a nice scrape across my leg there. And I didn't even notice it when it happened. I just looked down and saw a hole in my pants, but ended up having to get it all cleaned out. And the worst part of it all is the afterwards, like right in that spot when you're sitting down, it's where you put your elbows when you lean forward. And every time I get that little, like, I don't know. It's just, that's my suffering for, you know, the couple weeks I've had it. And man, that's a little bit, where I'm going with my message here this morning. Suffering. And I'm going to go through 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19, if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles. I'm just going to pray quick as we get started. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word with people I've known my entire life. And I just thank you for each and every one of them. And I pray that you'd open up their hearts to receive your word this morning. And I pray that you would bind Satan as he tries to distract and to block you, God. And I pray that you would just touch each and every one of our hearts this morning. In your name, amen. So 1 Peter 4, Peter is writing to new Christians and a lot of Gentiles here. And as new Christians, a lot of times they would think that, you know, I'm a Christian now. My life should be easy, right? You know, God saved me. He should just, you know, clear up all the issues I'm having. But what Peter's saying here right away, I'll just read through the text and I'll come back to it. But it said, "Beloved, do not be surprised when the fiery trial do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted in the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if any of you suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous are scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Peter opens it up by saying, don't be surprised when suffering happens. Because when you become a Christian, believe it or not, life doesn't just get easy. That doesn't happen. You don't end up just like, oh, you know, there goes all my financial issues. There goes all my family issues. Like, you know, I'm a Christian now. Don't have to worry about these things. And a lot of times, it makes it even harder. A lot of times, it makes it even more difficult because of your faith, because of your belief in Christ, because of the weight that that brings along with it. The name of Jesus is a powerful name, and a lot of people are scared of it. So a lot of times, it'll make it even harder for you to live with that label on you. And so what Peter just tells these new Christians, like, don't be surprised when it comes, because it's going to come, and there's promises in the Bible that it will come. And the ESV version that I have says fiery trial, alluding to, I think, sanctification, as when you are purifying metal or when you're purifying water, you'll put it through fire. You'll put it through fire. You put metal in a fire and it melts it down, and they separate the metals in order to purify, in order to make it pure. And the same thing with water. They'll boil it. They'll put it under a fire in order to distill it, in order to get rid of all the bacteria, of all the ugliness. And that's the same thing of sanctifications in our life. A lot of times we'll go through these trials. We'll go through these sufferings, and we don't know why we're going through them, but we're going through them because we need to be sanctified. And sanctification is a process. We go through these fiery trials in order to refine ourselves, in order to purify ourselves. And a lot of times we find ourselves asking the question, you know, why is this happening to me? Why is this bad thing happening to me? You know, I'm a good person. I do all this good stuff. And we wonder what the reason is for our suffering. This was asked this question: why do bad things happen to bad, or why do good things happen to bad people? Why do bad things happen to good people? The age-old question. And he answered, why not? They're the only ones who can take it. A parallel text of this is in James 1, 2, and 4. And it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, and you may be perfect and incomplete, lacking in nothing. So not only is suffering a part of the sanctification process, we not only have to go through suffering to be sanctified, it produces steadfastness. And I looked it up just to be sure what steadfastness means, and basically, the meaning is you won't budge. You won't budge an inch. And in Romans 5, 3 through 5, it says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So not only does it produce steadfastness, it produces endurance. And endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. So there's reasons for our suffering. And a lot of times we have a hard time seeing that, just because the suffering's right in our face. It's right there, so we don't want to see anything else. We're like, why is this happening? You just take it away from me. Just get this suffering out of here. I'm living a good life. I don't know what you want from me. but God uses this suffering in order to make us pure, in order to sanctify us, and in order to produce steadfastness, in order to produce endurance and character and hope in us. He's bettering us through these sufferings. And we're able to have joy in these sufferings because these sufferings happening to us glorifies God. And going back to the original text in 1 Peter, it says, but in verse 13, it says, but rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings. We're not going through these alone. Christ went through these before us, and much worse, I dare to say, than we would ever go through. Christ was spit on, he was whipped, he was crucified. He went through all of that, and we complain about a little scrape on our leg. I mean, it doesn't really compare too much, but we're sharing with these sufferings with Christ, though we may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed, because his glory is revealed through these sufferings. We're not going through these without a purpose. We're not going through these just for the heck of it. We're not saying, God's not saying, I think you can take this, I'll just give this to you. He's saying, this is going to bring me glory. This, you going through this is going to bring me glory. And in that we can have joy, in that we can have, we can rejoice in that because of the glory of God that's going to be revealed through it. And we don't have to be ashamed of it if we suffer as a Christian. We don't have to be ashamed of that because it glorifies God in his name. Romans 8:18 says, for I consider the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. The glory that's going to be revealed to us dwarfs our suffering. Our suffering is nothing compared to the future glory that we will be a part of. And that just has to be in mind when going through these situations, these issues in our life. Yeah. And pray for us. Lord, thank you so much for everything you do for us. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for us. Thank you for his suffering in order that we may have your glory, God, in order that we may glorify you in our sufferings. And I just pray that we would be able to see the end goal in all of this when we encounter these times of suffering, when we encounter these times of trials and fiery trials at that, Lord. I just pray that you would help us to see you in the midst of it. And I pray that you would allow us to just focus on you through it all. Yeah, amen. And I'm going to end with a song about Christ's suffering. And it's called Jesus Paid It All. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now indeed I find thy power in thine alone, can change a leper's spot and melt the heart of stone.
and raise this life up from the dead. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Lord, thank you so much for the blood that you spilt on the cross. Thank you for covering our sin. Thank you for your unconditional love for us, God. We can't give that kind of thing back to you, Lord. And I just pray that you would I just thank you so much for everything. Thank you so much for your son, Lord. Thank you for dying on a cross for us. In your name, amen.